Now, after 2 days of voting and a contest that was too close to call until the very end, Norway has decided who will lead the country for the next 4 years. The Conservative Party, led by Erna Solberg, maintains its ruling coalition with the Progress Party, who see themselves as libertarians, but others see as verging on right-wing and populist. But in a part of the world famed for its liberal and forward-thinking attitudes, what does this say about Norwegians themselves? Well, I'm joined by our regular voice on the region, Lars Bavanger. And Lars, I want to kind of unpick a little bit with you who the Norwegians are. It seems to have many of the same tensions in other countries. But one of the debates here was about, for example, the oil industry. And there were on the Greens and those on the left saying, you know, we need to kind of maybe row back from being an oil nation. And others on the right were saying, no, let's celebrate the fact that we're an oil nation. How, just on that debate to begin with, how real is that debate within the country?
Well, it is a real debate, and it's typically divided between age groups. Younger people tend to perhaps look more into the future, naturally seeing a post-petroleum future for Norway. Older voters might be thinking that obviously petroleum is extremely important for Norway and Norway's economy. It employs a lot of people. It makes up for almost half of Norway's total export. So you've got that divide. Also, you will find a divide between the West Coast and perhaps more central areas, where you see that most of the oil industry is located on the West Coast, and big cities like Stavanger are very, very dependent on the industry. So we've got those fault lines being, well, basically have been emphasized through this election campaign. And I think we'll see the cleft growing larger going forward now.
And just tell me, on the oil industry, it seems, you know, that Norway is in an extraordinary position, a very, very, very wealthy nation, because of the oil industry, but a kind of luxury almost for some young people to think, oh, if we got rid of this, we would be, you know, a more ecologically friendly nation. But surely all the richness of decisions that Norwegians can now make, you know, 60, 70 years ago, a mainly agricultural and fishing nation, is because of that oil industry, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are other large industries. You mentioned fisheries. Aluminium production is another. And of course, Norway must look forward to a post-petroleum future because, A, the oil is going to run out at some stage, and B, the demand for oil and petroleum products is going to sink as well. We see that the car fleet of the world looks set to be electrified. The price of oil already dropped dramatically in 2014, and it's risen somewhat since then. But it is a reality that Norway will have to face up to. I think the big divides in the country is between whether that needs to be tackled head on very, very quickly, or whether Norway should start looking for more oil further north in the Arctic Sea, open up new areas for oil exploration, and try to get every drop out of the ocean, as the Progress Party leader said before the election.
And that tension also exists on the issue of immigration. Again, is it a kind of a 50-50 split, it feels, almost in the nation, between those who feel that the future is embracing more immigration and those who wish to maintain a kind of a more Norwegian-only kind of policy?
I think the picture is a bit more complicated than a 50-50 split. Yes, the Progress Party have gained a lot of support for their fairly dramatic anti-immigration stance. The Minister of Immigration and Integration is from the Progress Party. She's been very vocal in the, before the election campaign and during the election campaign, so much so that some of her government colleagues have almost felt obliged to distance themselves from some of her ideas, like locking up asylum seekers in secure facilities and things like that. There are other people, like older Labour Party, traditional Labour Party voters, who see immigration as a threat to employment. Having said that, the unemployment is very, very low still. And again, the younger generation coming forward tend to be more welcoming of refugees. Norway has a fairly strict immigration policy as it is, and that's got pan-political support in Parliament, but it's being seen as it is the Progress Party's own policy simply because the Minister of Integration and Immigration has been so vocal on this.
And just tell me, the election results, how did you read them? What do you think this says about modern Norway?
Well, I think it says two things. One is that people want to stick with what they know now. The current government, which is now set to continue for another 4 years, has managed to get Norway out of a sort of mini economic crisis with the dip of those oil prices in 2014, got the economy back on track. So people don't want to perhaps take the risk of going back to a centre-left-led government. On the other hand, the reason the Labour Party lost so much support is also they bled a lot of votes to the smaller fringe parties, but also on the left, who see maybe that Labour is now moving too far towards the centre ground, and they don't see much difference between Labour and the Conservatives. So they seek real alternatives, like we've seen a boost in support for the Red Party, which is a Marxist party, and also the Socialist Left, which is a party that's fairly far out on the left side to the Labour Party.
Well, great to speak to you. That's Lars Bavanger, who was on the line from Oslo, and he's our man for covering the region. And you're listening to The Briefing.